Well, shall we turn now in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34. We are missing a few verses there, but we will get to it next week when we deal with the issue of Jairus' daughter. We'll read together these 11 verses. Let's begin. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus said, knowing himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he took around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has been well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." May God bless his words to our hearts today. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, studying the attributes of God is not boring at all. It shouldn't be. When you study the attributes of God, you will find that there are many practical application and benefits. Benefits that help you to serve the Lord better. Today you will see one of those attributes of Jesus, namely his omniscience, all-knowing, and how beneficial this attribute was for this poor, suffering sister. Lord willing, next week you'll see the omnipotence of Jesus. Our headings today are the woman's helplessness, second, the woman's hope, and then third, the woman's healing. Our goals are based on the fact that your loving Savior knows your troubles. He will help you through your afflictions. And surely you will then be moved to better worship and work for him. So we begin then with the woman's hopelessness. The woman's helplessness. It was normal for a large multitude to follow Jesus and to throng him. The word "throng" there literally means to press on every side or to crush. One in the multitude was a sick woman with a bleeding disorder for 12 years. This woman's life was slowly ebbing away before her. Eusebius, a historian, says her name was Veronica. What we know about her, though, is obvious. She was weak. She would be low on iron. She would be tired. And because of the state of her blood, she would be susceptible to many diseases. We know she would have been miserable. The constant discomfort would have made her irritable. Imagine the pressure this was on her family. How difficult it would have been for them to watch this woman, and probably a young woman, suffer this way. But to suffer for a long time. We don't know if she were married. Maybe she couldn't be married because of the difficulties of her life. More than being weak physically, more than being miserable in mind, she was also ceremonially unclean, meaning that she could not perform many of the Old Testament ceremonies. She couldn't go in the temple court where the women would gather. A woman with a bleeding issue was not permitted to go and make sacrifices either. So that ostracized her from the church. But she was also socially unclean. Couldn't interact with others because of her condition. What made matters worse is that she was unable to get help for her condition. Many people struggle with serious problems, but you can go and you can get some help and to fix the problem. But her physicians could not help her. And she had tried many of them, the Bible says. One can imagine the horrible medicines she had to take then, when medicines weren't doctored with artificial sugar and flavorings. One of the common medicines for this kind of disorder was this. It was a mixture of gum of Alexandria, alum, which is kind of aluminum sulfate, saffron, onions, and cumin, put into wine, let sit for a while, and then it was drunk. And if that didn't work, then they would get it into worse medicines than that. That was the initial treatment. For some, can you imagine drinking that stuff? Drinking onions. Later on, one of the remedies would be to dig 7 holes in the ground. In it, they would put herbs, and the woman would be made to sit over each one of them in order. Imagine how difficult that would be. The work involved, the inconvenience, lack of privacy. And even, we don't know exactly what she did, but these were the common treatments in those days. Even after all of these treatments, for 12 years of seeking treatment, she got worse. As a consequence of spending, of being sick for a long time, you can imagine the family became poor. All the monies were spent on medicines and doctors. So you're not only miserable and sick, you don't only have to deal with the problem of the futility of the problem, thinking maybe I have to die this way. They were poorer on top of that. A weaker person would have wished for death. I've seen enough people in the hospitals to know when people are saying, just let me go. This is too much pain, too much suffering. And for a young woman, probably in her 20s, this would have been a difficult thing. You see, today the call in Canada for euthanasia, the right to kill the sickly to save them from pain. Many people want to commit suicide as a way of escape. And she might have contemplated suicide. We don't know, but she didn't. What we know here is that would have been the normal thing. Life seemed helpless. Well, what lessons can we learn from this condition in the first place? First of all, it is the Lord's plan that sometimes you have to endure serious struggles in life. It may be sickness. And some of you have had to deal with that. Financial struggles, some of you had to deal with that. Family challenges, some of you have had to deal with that. Even recently. The fact is, that may be part of God's plan for your life. He knows everything you go through. Don't ever think that God is somehow missing and I have to try to fix these problems because God doesn't know about them. First of all, He always knows. Second, never try to escape or take the easy way out. Sometimes you don't get the job you want, so you take something that makes you compromise, a job that's not good. Or sometimes people have struggles at home and they don't want to deal with the problem, so they cut and run. They pack up and leave. Same thing with church. You have an issue you can't deal with, you leave. But that's the problem. You may not escape where God has placed you. Learn to ask for help through your trials. You know, somebody is sick and they have medicines to take, but they don't want to go through that process, or they have to use some exercise or change their lifestyle. But it's easier to pop a pill. Take a painkiller as an easy escape. Then they become addicted and they have all kinds of other troubles. Or some people have some troubles in their family. They don't know how to deal with it. They start drinking too much. And then they start using alcohol as a cover, as their escape. That would have been the easy thing for this woman to do. But she doesn't do that. Instead, she goes to Jesus. But this is not just a thing about physical problems and pain. This woman is a picture of every man's spiritual condition. Every man has a spiritually unclean heart, and he can do nothing to help his condition. Even if he spends all he has, he cannot please God. He cannot save his life. Many have tried to buy their spiritual health, but have always failed. You know, there are people who used to pay, and probably to a degree still do, pay for blessing. You go and you pay the priest, and he will bless your pets. Or if you want your family to come out of purgatory, you go and pay the Roman Catholics, and they would pay. And as Tetzel says, from the time the sound of that coin hits the bottom of the container, he was collecting money, and the families were jumping out of purgatory. People like to, you'd like to pay to get your sins removed. It's an easier thing in their way of thinking. But no, men will always fail. You see, God is not fooled by charity. Our God. A Muslim God says you can give to poor, and if you kill someone, it's better you pay the family of the one you killed, and you get sort of some exemptions. God takes money. But not our God. God's justice demands blood, the blood of Christ, to redeem the helpless. Nothing else would do. Unless you go to Christ, you're lost. Period. But let's look at the second point now, the hope of this woman. This woman's hope. She's helpless physically, nothing she can do, but this woman had hope. She heard that Jesus was in the neighborhood. So the woman, in all her affliction, heard of the hope of Jesus Christ, how he saved and how he healed. And she gained faith in Jesus. That faith came by hearing Christ's words that someone would have told her. That's the foundation of hope for anyone in this life. It's the Word of God. They could be the nicest people in the world, but without the Word of God, they're hopeless. Well, this woman, as a believer, goes to Jesus. She didn't become a Christian here like, if you heal me, I will follow you. No, as a Christian, she goes. Look at the confidence. She says, if only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well. Because of her faith, she knew that if she could touch Jesus, she would be well. So even in her physical weakness, this woman fought the large crowd to come to Jesus. I'd like to say it this way, faith forced her forward. That's what faith does. When there is faith, there is no fear. Faith will push you forward to handle all the challenges you might have in your life. You see, this woman was spiritually rich. Her pockets were empty. Her family's pockets were empty. But her faith was full and strong. Christ had made her rich through the words that she heard and believed. Now, as she reached forward, this was not superstition as reaching for a piece of holy cloth like they sell on television from Popov and some of these other preachers, so-called, on television. This was from faith in Christ. But at the same time, you have to remember this. And this is where sometimes preaching these parables or these stories can be quite difficult sometimes. You have to be careful not to think that if you have faith today, that God will heal you of your troubles. You may die of heart disease. You may die of whatever problems you've gotten. So don't think that because this woman had faith, that if you have faith, the same thing will happen to you. Remember, the Apostle Paul was concerned one time about his friend, and he said, "I thought you were going to die." And he was healing people, so not everyone is healed. There are some people that God will not heal. And that's why you need to see this not simply as some kind of an example that if you reach by faith, you're going to get whatever you need. That you're going to get perfect health and you're going to get that perfect wife and that perfect job and that perfect life. Remember, miracles were specifically for that time. Miracles were only common in three times in the Bible. During the time of Moses, during the time of Elijah, and during the time of Jesus. There are a few here and there, but miracles only occur at three main times in the Bible. And remember, those were the two prophets who appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration to remind us of the uniqueness of the time when Jesus came. So, Jesus may heal you. Don't get me wrong. You pray that God will heal you. But he may make you wait. You consider the fact that this woman was praying for 12 years before the Lord healed her. Why didn't the Lord heal her before? Right? Sometimes you may have to be that way for a long time. Just don't think that this means you are able to guarantee healing because you have faith. But here's the other side of that. Greater things are reachable by faith. Not just physical healing. That's the small one. Now, that's attractive to us because we think highly of ourselves and our good health. But the point is, greater things are received by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You are able to receive eternal life by faith. So don't try to think, well, what's the use of faith? Well, faith is greater. There are greater things you can get by faith. Don't get hung up on physical healing, because miracles rarely happen in the Bible, except for three times. What lessons can we learn from this then? First of all, the Lord knows your needs. And he gives you faith so that you can reach out to him. Faith is what you need to be justified, to be declared righteous before God. Faith is what you need to be sanctified. So there you have it. Those are two incredible things, far greater than any kind of physical healing. The salvation of your soul and the sanctification of your soul, things that are accomplished by faith in Jesus Christ, reaching out to him by faith. Second, there were many there with Jesus, but they were only curious observers who lacked the faith to reach out to Jesus and receive his blessing. If you are not growing as a Christian, then you need greater faith. How do you get that faith? Faith comes by reading and believing the Word of God. That's when your faith becomes stronger. And that's when you're able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is that faith that saves, that faith that sanctifies, but it's the Word of God that strengthens your faith. So if you're not a good student of the Word of God, you understand why you struggle. Third lesson. Because faith is the means by which we're saved and sanctified, you need to tell others who are in this helpless condition about Jesus. You know, they might have tried all kinds of things. All kinds of false religions. A lot of people try good works, giving money to the poor, making pilgrimages to different places, being nice to their parents, being good citizens in the country, as if these things would make them better. And they have tried, like this woman, trying all kinds of different things to get healing. Maybe these people have wasted a lot of time and their resources. Maybe they wasted a lot of their life trying to find some way of getting eternal salvation. Well, you need to tell them that Jesus saves. Tell them to reach out by faith, knowing that the Lord will do what they ask. That's your command to evangelize. Well, what happened to this woman then? Let's look at the woman's healing, or third point. She was helpless. She had hope that moved her forward, that faith that made her reach forward to Jesus and to touch his clothes. And then we see the woman's healing. After touching Jesus, the woman was instantly made well. You see that phrase, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. What does fountain of her blood mean? The Jews called the womb a fountain because of menstrual blood. The dear woman knew that her bleeding had stopped and the pains were gone. After 12 years of constant pain and suffering, in an instant, it was gone. You realize how big a deal that was. People who have suffered, they know the discomforts. And knowing he had healed her, Jesus wanted her to confess before the people so the crowd would know of his knowledge. You get that? He wanted then the people to know that he knew about this woman and that he had healed her so that they would praise him. He knew of her faith. This is the omniscience of Christ. So he asked, who touched me? Literally, who touched me by faith? Jesus knew who touched him, but he asked so that she would confess this before the crowd. And people would know that he knew everything. He knew the thoughts of their hearts. He knew why they were there. It would cause them to praise him. And he wanted her to speak. You see, that's also true for a Christian. A Christian can never be silent. There's no such thing as a secret Christian. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to praise him. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will want to tell others about him. You will not hide away that you belong to him. And by the way, you see how this story is about Jesus, about his knowledge. Yeah, we talk about the woman and her problem and her helplessness. But her hope came from Christ. And her healing came from Christ. This is about Christ working, knowing, and then using that knowledge to work for the good of his people. But look at what the disciples, how they responded. Not knowing what had happened. Not knowledgeable enough of the knowledge of Christ. They didn't know how much Christ knew. His disciples protested and said, these people are pressing you. I like that old King James word. They're pressing you and you want to know who touched you? The word thronging there suggests stifling or literally choking. They wanted to say, Lord, the proper question is, who didn't touch you? These people are all around you. What did Jesus say to them? Nothing. He completely ignored their question, and then he looked straight at the woman who touched him by faith, for he knew for whom he was looking. He knew all things. Imagine the surprise of his disciples then when he pointed out, he looked in the direction of the woman, and then she started to speak. The woman, though, became afraid and trembled. Fear and trembling were mixed with her faith. But why was she afraid and why was she trembling? As part of the ceremonial law, which was being fulfilled in Jesus at that time, a woman with bleeding was not permitted to be in contact with the public. Look at the one Bible verse we have here from Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. And let's read it together. Let's begin. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. So here's the problem now. The woman realizes this is a religious mistake. This is a social mistake. Because the person that woman touched would have become ceremonially unclean. Maybe she's afraid that Jesus might want to reverse that healing now. Or people might be angry with her for stopping Jesus from healing Jairus' daughter, because now he would have been unclean. And he was being delayed from going to heal this man's young daughter. But she should not have been afraid. She should have given him her uncleanness, and he would have given her his righteousness. She should be triumphing or rejoicing in his glorious favor, not trembling with fear, because he's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our Savior. He's our Father. Who would be afraid to go to her Father and say, "I'm sick. I need your help"? No child, even to sinful fathers, would be afraid to go to the Father and say that. Christ came to remove the things symbolized by impurity, that sin. And there was no need to be afraid to be close to him. But this woman with her fear and trembling also had faith. And she was not afraid. She was not ashamed to tell of this most private matter before the world. The plague had destroyed her. But she wanted the world to know that she was healed. This is an example of Christian evangelism of the best kind. When you're able to testify publicly of what God has done for you. You know, it's important that you tell people what God can do for them. But when people can see it in your life, they can see by the way you talk, the way you carry yourself around, that Jesus is at work in you. That's an example of practical evangelism that is very precious to the kingdom work. The way you are with your wife, children, boss, employees, they see Christ in you. And this woman stood up and spoke. Yes, she was initially afraid, but then she told the whole truth. She confirmed that Christ was God by her testimony, the omniscient one. When Jesus said, "Who touched me?" she said, "I touched you." You see, the Lord knew that healing virtue had gone out of him, and he knew the woman was behind. He knew her suffering. And without even saying it, she was healed. This is why Jesus does not attack or insult her for appearing before him in an unclean state. And he does not speak harshly to her because her fear was mixed with her faith. Rather, he was gentle. Look at the way he speaks to her. He says, "Daughter," showing great affection to this woman. He says, "Daughter." And then he announces future peace on the woman for her future. When he says, "May be well with you," well here means health, to be healthy. To go in peace means to live in peace. What blessings he puts upon this woman whose life had been miserable until maybe 5 minutes ago. That's what happens when you meet with the Lord. Things are never the same. Jesus then tells her that her faith made her well. Does this mean that faith literally made her well? No, of course not. It was the object of her faith. She had her faith in Jesus, and Jesus made her well. Faith by itself has no power. By the way, you hear a lot of this today. Faith is used as the magical thing. Just have faith. If you don't have an object of your faith is useless. Your faith can do nothing. Faith are simply hands of the soul. But unless you have an object of your faith, that you trust the one you're trusting in, your faith is useless. Only Christ has power to heal. Faith doesn't heal. What lessons can we learn here from this healing then? Three things. First of all, through faith, the sister sent her message to the Lord, and in love, he returned the answer. Jesus removed her plague and set her free, and she knew it. So too you, when you are a Christian, you will know that you are a Christian. You will feel the weight of sin lifted off of you. Now, there are times you put things back on your back. You allow guilt to take over you, and you feel ashamed, and you think, how could I do this? And then that's wrong. Jesus took all your burdens. He took all your sins when he died on the cross. When you become a Christian, there's a joy that he puts there, because you know that your sins will never be held against you. They'll be cast in a sea of forgetfulness. And just like this woman suddenly realized, I'm healed. So too, you will realize that you have been healed in your spirit. Second, never be ashamed to honor Christ and to announce his help. Through your transition from an unbelieving state to a believing state, or through all of life's troubles that he brings you through. So when you become a Christian, and when you're living as a Christian, never be ashamed to honor Christ and announce his help. Don't try to take credit for what God is doing. Don't say, well, I'm trying to clean up my act. Remember, it is God who is cleaning up your act. It is he who is working by his word and spirit to give you a new heart and a new record and a new life, not you. So announce him. Let the world know that it is Christ who has worked. And then third, if you're not a Christian, you need to reach out by faith to the Lord, just like this woman did. And then you will receive new life, so that the plague of sin and death can be removed. You have a worse problem. That's sin and death. But if you reach by faith to Jesus, use those hands that he's given you, the hands of your soul, then you will receive life. You will receive healing much more. So this story is not just simply about the healing of a woman. It's an all-knowing Christ who knows whatever need you have, and he challenges you to reach for him to receive his blessing. Let's conclude. This is an astounding story of a woman who had great faith in Jesus Christ and was healed soul and body. But this story is more astounding than that. It is more astounding because it deals with the omniscience of Jesus Christ. Our Lord knows all things. He is the God of heaven and earth. And he knew the pain and agony and faith of this woman. His knowledge caused him to heal. If he were not omniscient, he wouldn't know what this woman's problem was. He wouldn't know that she had faith in him. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, a couple of points of application. First of all, your Lord knows all things you go through. He knows when you have pains in your head and pains in your heart. He knows when you are discouraged. He knows when you struggle to worship. He knows the spiritual frustrations you feel. He knows your worry about the future. He knows your physical pains. He knows every secret sin with which you wrestle day and night. You don't even have to tell me. He knows. Your Lord not only knows about the struggles in your life, he cares. He cares. You became his child because Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he didn't lift you up to let you down. You can be sure that he cares for you body and soul. He says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He says he will send his comforter to live in you. So the implication then of Christ's knowledge and his care for you are comforting. He knows, he cares. Find comfort in this. You can go to sleep at night with confidence. You can raise your children without fear. You can look to the future with hope. He may not take away your sicknesses. He may not take away the trials you experience in life. He did not take away this woman's problem for 12 years. So you might have 12 more years of trouble. 12 more years of physical struggle. 12 more years of spiritual struggle with that sin. But the thing is this, his arms are always around you. He knows. And he will give you whatever you need to do the work he has called you to do. And it will always come at the right time. And finally, if you're not a Christian, Jesus knows all things about you also. He knows that you are rebellious and that you are fighting against him. He even knows when you think what you think. He even knows every evil thing you said. So unless you repent, he will destroy you. He has to. That's his justice. But if you humble yourself before him and reach for him, he will help you. If you come to him as the woman did and say, Lord, I want to be made well. I've been sick all my life. He will make you well. Jesus said that whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Come today. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for these words. While there are not many people here today, these are the ones you want to hear this message. That's your sovereignty. That's your providence. So let us listen attentively to your word. Let it sink in. Let us see in our lives if we have allowed things to overwhelm us instead of reaching for Jesus, knowing that he knows everything that we go through, that we don't fight alone. We don't struggle with raising our children or dealing with our spouses or dealing with unemployment or sickness or trials, struggles with sin. You know what we're going through. And you care. So let us learn to call upon you and know that you will save us through our trials. Yes, you may not take things away from us, but you will always care for us. And give us enough grace that we can endure the trials of this life. So answer us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.